Okay, we're going to conclude our series that we began a couple weeks ago called The Dirty Truth. The Dirty Truth. We went back all the way to Genesis and we talked about how what happened in Genesis kind of parallel what happened in Adam and in mankind. And we've talked about the soil. And Jesus taught in Mark 4 about the parable of the sower. And he likened the seed to the Word of God and the soul to the condition of man's hearts. And one of the things that we're talking about this week or this whole series is, guess what? You're in control of your heart. You're in charge. God put you in charge. He put, just like he put Adam in charge of the Garden of Eden, he says, you dress it, you keep it. He says, okay, what you got to do is you got to keep the process that I set in motion going. Reaping and sowing and reaping, picking and pruning and sowing and reaping. And we have to do that in our own hearts. We have that responsibility. We have that stewardship. Then he said, guard it, because there's enemies of the heart out there. There are things out there that are designed to get you off track as a follower of Christ. If they can get you off track, they can keep you from being a reflector of the glory of God in your life. In fact, the enemy wants to sidetrack you. He wants to sidetrack you. And, you know, once you become a Christian, it's all about the heart. I've said that many times. It's all about the heart. And you're in charge. Now, you say, well, I thought God was in charge. Yeah, we put him in charge, but he tells us and he gives us the responsibility or the stewardship of managing what goes into the soul of our heart. You're in charge of that. You can control that. So, and it's his word working in us, working the changes that needs to take place in our hearts. But, you know, there's four kinds of hearts. First of all, there was the hard heart. There was the hard ground. And we're going to deal a little bit with that today in talking about offenses, because that's what we're going to talk about today. But, you know, you can harden your heart or you can soften your heart. You choose to do that. And I think we kind of sometimes go in and out of that condition, that we harden our hearts to certain things. And sometimes we do that over time because we start substitute. When, you know, we read the Bible, it says to do this. And you say, yeah, I know it says that, but we start making an excuse. And when we do that, we start hardening our hearts to hear what God is trying to say to us through his word. And it could come to the point that when you hear the word, your heart is so hard that the enemy just comes and steals it, and it never really registers with you. So that's one kind of heart. The second kind is a stony ground, and that is a semi-good heart, but it's got some other things in there. There's still some hardness in there. And when the seed falls on that ground, it begins to produce, but it only goes down so far because it's still hard underneath and it can't take root. And then when persecution comes, that person becomes offended. And then the word does not produce because they don't have any depth. See, God is looking for people with depth. Depth. That doesn't happen overnight. Did you know it? You got to have some depth. You got to have some roots. You know, you got to have roots in the spiritual and you got to have roots in the natural. That's why people need to be planted in a good Bible believing church. Ought to get a big amen on that. You need to be planted in a place where you hear the word of God and that's reinforced in you. You get some roots in there. And when you get roots, you start getting fruit. The third kind of ground is called the thorny ground. This is a distracted heart. This is a heart that you know, they have the inclination towards God, but they get distracted through other things. you know, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and stuff and the cares of this world and all of these things come creeping in, and it chokes the word out in our life. In fact, we spend more time thinking about and meditating about the things that we worry about, the things that we want, the things that distract us, than the word can't produce in us like it's designed to do. See, there's nothing wrong with the word of God. Can I just tell you that today? There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. The problem is not with the Word of God. The problem's with the heart. And the problem is that we're not tending our heart like we're supposed to. We're not involved in the sowing and the reaping and the sowing and the tending and the pruning. We're not involved in that, and we're not guarding it. Everything that comes through the ears, we allow to stay on the inside of us and affect us. But then there is that good ground, and that good ground is the prepared heart. It's the heart that's prepared to receive the seed of the Word of God. And it says that it produces some 30, some 60, and some 100, depending on the condition of the heart, the goodness and the depth of the heart. Well, today we're going to conclude this, and we're going to talk about something that is I think is so important to guard our hearts against, and that is offense. Offense. Not F-E-N-C-E, O-F-F-E-N-C-E. We're reading in Romans chapter 14 today. Romans chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. It says, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." I like what that says. We give an account to God for who? For ourselves. "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore." See, you're not in charge of somebody else. You're in charge of you. See, that can be a distraction too. You're so concerned about somebody else, or you're so worried about where somebody else's walk is that you neglect your walk. But that's a different subject. "But rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way." Now that word "fall" there is the Greek word skandalon. It is the same thing as offense. It means the same thing. And it has several meanings with it. But one of the interesting things that this word means, it is a movable stick or trigger of a trap. The bait stick. The bait stick. Now, do we have any trappers? That's kind of a lost art anymore. I went on YouTube and I typed in bait stick because I wanted to understand in my mind what a bait stick was. And you've seen the traps where they tie a line to a strong sapling, they pull it over, and they have notched sticks that stand up like this, and they hook it, and they hook this bait stick to it, and they notch it. And they stick it down, and it's sharpened on the end, and they'll put the bait on the end of the stick. There's a noose that comes down, and when the animal comes and he sticks his head in the noose and he bites the bait stick, it moves, and he's hung. Well, that's what this word offense or to fall means, a bait stick. Now, when I think of temptation, I don't think of negative things. I think of things that are attractive. Offense is not attractive. But you know, food is. Stuff is. The power of money is. Influence is. Even lust of the flesh is something that is attracted to us. We have an inclination towards the flesh. But see, this is not coming, and all of those can be bait sticks too. But this is talking about something that's kind of negative. And this is something called an offense, a bait stick. It is a snare of Satan to ensnare a believer and to render him ineffective for the kingdom of God. a fence, a bait stick. I would have never come up with that. I never would have thought of that. I want to read in James chapter 1, verse 20. For the wrath of God does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. Now, this is not talking about salvation of the spirit. This is talking about salvation of your soul. See, when you get born again, it's your spirit that gets born again. See, you're three parts. You're not a body. You have a body. You're not a mind. You have a mind. You are spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your sins are forgiven, it's your spirit that's born again. It's your spirit that you know God with. See, with the spirit, we have contact with God. With the mind, that's the intellectual realm. That's the mind, will, and emotions. With the body, you contact the physical realm. I see Victor sitting out there, and I see his body. So that's the physical realm. There's the mental, emotional realm. There's the spiritual realm. But when we get born again, it's our spirits that are born again. Our minds are not born again. See, your spirit has to be saved. Now, the word saved, we have used that word in such a limited fashion that we just think it means the forgiveness of sins. And it does mean that. But it also means deliverance. Do you think we need deliverance sometimes in our minds? Do you think that we need to be set free in our minds sometimes? Don't you think that there are thought processes that go in our minds that we need to be set free of? Do you ever have any stinking thinking? Does your stinking thinking affect the way that you live your life? Yeah. Grudge and unforgiveness, and many times those enter in through an offense. Will an offended person produce in the kingdom like they're supposed to? It is one of the greatest traps that the enemy has that so many Christians fall into, and it just renders them unfruitful and non-productive where God is concerned. You know, and it can happen so many ways. But it says, receive with the meekness the engrafted word. That means the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Now that means your mind, your thought processes, your feelings, your emotions, all of those things, your will, it will transform that part of your man. Now listen, your body's going to be saved someday. Did you know that? Right now we live in a mortal body. But guess what? Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new body. I'll have a new life. We're going to have a transformed body. We're going to have an eternal body. We're going to live in a body. You're not going to be a little chubby angel with wings sitting on a harp strumming. I'm sitting on a cloud strumming a harp. You're going to be a human being. I get upset sometimes when people say, "Oh, you know, God got another angel today." No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Human beings don't become angels. Angels are created beings. They've never been human. They never will be human. They're different species. Human beings are human beings. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. We have a new body. We have a new life. But we're still human beings. We're in eternity, we're going to live in a body. It's going to be a redeemed body. Okay, that's a side note. But we need to know that sometimes. So you have been saved, you are being saved, and you shall be saved. You're saved in your spirit. You'll go to heaven when you die. But right now you're in the process of dealing with all of this negativity, all of this stuff in the world that tries to control you and render you ineffective as a Christian. Now you can't do anything about your body. But that price has already been paid too. God will give you a new body. So you have been saved, you are being saved, and you shall be saved. That's good news. Okay, so for the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like the man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But when he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. See, we have to have an ongoing relationship with the Word of God. Well, I read the Bible through last year. Well, what are you doing this year? Nothing. It says continues. Look at your neighbor and say continues. You continue looking into the perfect law of liberty. And not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one is blessed in what he does. So there is something that has to happen with us, that we receive the word on the inside of us. We continue in that word. We not only read it, but we begin to do it. And when we begin to do what it says, then the results begin to take place in our life. But what Satan wants to do, he wants to interrupt that process and he wants to shut you down. He wants to shut you down. There's nothing that can glorify God. As beautiful as creation is, as beautiful as everything that God creates is and reflects its glory, nothing has been designed to reflect the glory of God like mankind. Think about that. And what of God's creation least reflects his glory? Mankind. You know why? Because we're not guarding the garden. We're not dressing and keeping. We're not keeping the process going. We're letting things coming in, and some of those are offenses that come in and trip us up and causes us to become unfruitful. Now, there's three types of offense, and we'll talk about them pretty fast here. Number one is a direct offense. This is when someone directly offends you. This could be intentional or unintentional. I think a lot of times they are unintentional. Maybe someone says something to you and it offends you. Now, remember what that word offends means? What is it trying to get you to do? It's to stick your neck in the noose and bite the bait and be offended. And when you bite that bait and move that stick, guess what? And you find yourself hanging from a sapling. You're hung up. You know, that's one of the ways they catch squirrels. And what happens when they catch that squirrel and he's hanging in midair by this sapling? He can't do squirrel stuff, can he? He can't gather nuts. He can't make other squirrels. He can't do anything that he was designed to do, because why? He got trapped. The same thing with us. When we stick our head in the noose, we bite the bait, we're hung up, we don't do the human things that we're supposed to do. We don't do the kingdom things that we're supposed to do. Why? Because I am offended. That pastor did not shake my hand. I am offended. They didn't speak to me. They don't like me. There's so many things. They don't appreciate me. That church didn't call me. Have we been there? Have we done that? Have we got the t-shirt? I love something that I don't know who said it originally, but it was credited to Jerry Savelle. He says, if you cannot be offended, you cannot be defeated. And that is so true. See, somebody can come and they can say something about you, but it's up to you whether you allow that to offend you. You have that choice. See, that's guarding your heart. That's determining what seed will be in the ground. See, what happens when I receive the seed of offense in my ground? That's all I think about. That's all I think about. Well, I can't believe that dirty rat said about me. I mean, I have gone, I just come from a pastor standpoint. When somebody stabs you in the back, you know, a lot of times, I better be careful. A lot of times the people that you help the most are the quickest to stab you in the back. And I find myself, because I can be offended too. Hey, I am human. Have I ever been offended? Yes. Do I have to deal with it? Yes. Have I ever had a church member offend me? Yes. A lot. But what do I do with it? I have to deal with it. Otherwise, it renders me ineffective. And the very person that you help turns their back on you. They leave. They talk about you. And I'm thinking, how dare you? I paid their bills. I helped pay their bills. I counseled with them. I stood beside them. What am I doing? I'm sticking my hood in that noose and I'm chewing on that stick. And if I continue to do that, guess what? I'm going to be hung. What, do I have the right to be offended? Yeah. But who do I hurt? Who do I hurt by being mad at the turkey who's talking bad about me? I hurt me. I don't hurt them. I hurt me. See, if I can't be offended, I can't be defeated. Well, you just don't understand. I know. You may have a right. I mean, somebody may have done something bad, bad, bad to you. And you do have a right, if you want to be offended. But when you do, regardless of whether they're at fault or not, you're the one that's going to be hurt, because that's all you're going to think about. That's all you're going to think about. You're going to meditate on it. You're going to meditate on it. And that's the seed in the ground of your heart that's going to be, producing a harvest that's not a good harvest. And you know what? Your heart is going to become towards the Word of God harder and harder and harder. You'll hear it, and then you'll be offended. Somebody will say something you ought to forgive. That's that stony ground. The Word of God offends you, and you become unfruitful. See, it's up to you. It's up to you whether you are offended or not. See, there are people who will directly, on purpose, offend you if they can. But you know what? There's a lot of times that the offense is unintentional. They'll say something and you will judge their heart and what you thought that they meant by that. And they may not have meant that at all. And guess what? Your head's still in the noose and you bit the bait and you're still hung. And they don't even have a clue that you're offended at them. Yeah, but I know what they were thinking. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you got ESPN, we need to cast that devil out of you. Oh, that's ESP, isn't it? Okay. We need to cast that devil out of you. No, you can't read minds. You don't know hearts. Yeah, but I know how they are. See, all you're doing is letting something fester on the inside of you based on something that you can't even prove. And even if you could prove it, even if it was direct, you're still hung. Okay. See, it's unimportant if it was intentional or unintentional. It's what you do with the offense. And can I just tell you, sometimes forgiveness is not easy. It is. Sometimes you struggle with that. But let me tell you, and this set me free in a lot of instances. Forgiveness is a decision, and it's not a feeling. Well, if I don't feel like I'm forgiving them, did I forgive them? Yes. If you truly forgive them, if you say, God, I release them from that. I'm not holding that against them anymore. Your feelings may not change overnight. But if you will stay with your decision to forgive, the feeling will eventually follow. See, the Bible doesn't say that we're led by feelings. Too many Christians are led by their feelings. And they're so easily tricked by the devil. In fact, so many people are led by their feelings. And when people say things to them that make them feel good, they may have evil intent. But they made you feel good. But then they took advantage of you. They used you. They abused you. And then all of a sudden you feel bad. You feel hurt. You feel offended. What have you done? You stuck your neck in the noose. You bit the bait. And guess what? Don't go by your feelings. Go by your decisions. So you make a decision that you're going to forgive. See, when you receive the offense, it becomes yours. If you don't receive it, then it doesn't. And I know it's a battle. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying don't fall for the bait. If you fall for the bait, you're going to be hung. The second is a given offense. And this is something that you give to someone else or a group of people. Someone has offended you. You have taken that offense and you give that offense to someone else. Did you hear what Victor did to me? Did you hear what Victor said to me? And you give an offense. You pass it along. What it could be intentional. It could be unintentional. And what am I doing? I am turning people against Victor. Again, head in the noose. Hung. So there is that kind of an offense. Then this one is close to it, but it's where you become the receiving end of a given offense, and it's called a borrowed offense. When someone has offended another person and they share that offense with you, and you borrow that offense against that person. Like someone comes to me and says, did you hear what that church on the other side of town said about you? Hey, can I just tell you, we get talked about all the time. We probably got some criticism for last night. I don't care. I can either let that offend me, and I can take that up and think, well, that scallywag, he's nice to my face. He stabs me in the back. See, I can borrow that offense. It's because someone tells me what this other preacher said about our church. I can take that in and I can borrow that offense and I can let that affect me. That's a borrowed offense. My friend, and I got a lot of this from my buddy Vic Porter. He wrote a book called The Borrowed Offense, and he talks about this. And he said a few years ago that someone come to him, and he and I went to the same Bible school. And they told him a story about that family that was the head of that Bible school. Not the main one, but the sons and grandsons and some of the stupid stuff that they did. And it offended him. He borrowed that offense and he held that in his heart for several years. And later on, there were some things going on with him and God confronted him about that borrowed offense. It will affect you. See, we shouldn't open our ears to gossip. We shouldn't open our ears to what other people say, maybe somebody said about us or what somebody else did. And have you ever noticed how fast bad news travels? You know, a pastor can fall in a church, you know, in our town or in the circle that we run in, and you'll hear about it within a day. And you'll think, well, how, you know, I like that guy. How dare he do something like that? What have we done? We have borrowed an offense. What does that do? You stick your neck in the noose, you bite the bait, and you're hung. It controls you. It will affect your ability to reflect the glory of God. That's what we're called to do as the church, is reflect the glory of God. That's why we're here. We're not here to make a living. We're not left in this earth for that. We are left in this earth to glorify our Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, to show forth His glory and to bring forth His message to a lost and dying world. That's why we're here. You know why Jesus don't come back? I wish Jesus would come back, but that's so selfish of me. Because we live in a crappy world. We live in our nation is going the wrong direction. Our world is going the wrong direction. And I wish Jesus would come back. But you know what? There'd be a whole bunch of people go to hell that could go to heaven. And the grace of God is the thing that restrains the judgment of God from falling on this world. The time will come when the bucket is full and God says it's enough, and it'll happen. But in the meantime, we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. But you can't do that when you're offended. You can't do that when you're offended. Holy moly. Let's talk a little bit about the progression of an offense. And it goes right back to the law of Genesis. First the seed. The seed comes in. You hear the word. What is it doing? It's looking for soil. You know what? When the word of God goes forth, you know what it's doing? It's looking for soil. You know why? Because it wants to produce a harvest. When the devil's word of offense comes in, do you know what that's doing? It's looking for soil. The soil will produce whatever's sown into it. Did you know that? You can prepare a garden. You can fertilize it. You can get it ready. But it is important what you the seed that you put in that prepared ground. If you sow poisonous seeds in there, that's what it'll produce. If you sow good seed in there, that's what it'll produce. And you are the guardian of your garden. It's your responsibility of the process of sowing and reaping and pruning and taking care of and guarding your garden. Proverbs 4 says, above all that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it flows the springs of life. We could say it another way. For out of it determines whether it's life or death. It's up to you. It's your choice. So the seed is looking for soil. And remember, we talked about last week, as a man thinketh in his heart. That word thinketh means gatekeeper. Remember, you are the gatekeeper. If there's bad seed sown your way, you know what you need to do? You need to shut the gate. Sometimes you need to go in and pluck the seed and shut the gate. Why? You're the guardian. You're the gatekeeper. The next thing is, when the seed is left in there, it will build a root system. You know what? When an acorn falls on the ground, it doesn't take much effort to take that acorn and move it out of that ground. If it falls in your garden, it doesn't take much effort to get it out of there. But when it has a root system, it becomes more difficult. When that oak tree is that big around, you're not pulling it up. It's going to take a major deal to pull that thing up. You're going to have some assistance. Why not catch it in the seed form? when it's easy to deal with. Once it gets a root system in there, it finds the soil and it lays down roots. And here's the third thing. It produces fruit. It begins to produce unforgiveness. If it's left unchecked, it will produce slander, lies, cheating, stealing, and even murder. You know, usually murder doesn't, somebody gets up and say, you know what, I'm just going to kill somebody today. ISIS may do that, I don't know. But you know, people don't just jump up and say, I think I'll kill somebody today. Usually that festers on the inside of them for quite a while. Why? Maybe it started with an offense. Maybe it started with an offense. Very likely. It moved on to unforgiveness and then it comes to murder. It turns into hate, and then it turns into murder. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. What happens when this root of bitterness gets in us? We try to defile everybody around us. We'll pass on that offense, and it'll become slanderous, and it'll become a bad thing. So how do we recognize a root of bitterness? Okay, here's the test. Here's the test. Do I have a root of bitterness? Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It comes out your mouth. Can I just tell you, and Jesus taught this, whatever is in your heart in abundance is what comes out your mouth. You know what? I never talk about the New York Yankees. Why? I don't care anything about them. Now, I can talk about the St. Louis Cardinals. I know who's on the team. I know what positions they play. Why? I give attention to that. It's what you give attention to. What's in your heart in abundance is what comes out. Listen to yourself talk sometime. Are you slandering? Are you bitter? I mean, is bitterness coming out of your mouth? Then there is a root of bitterness in your heart. And you better start dealing with it. Okay. Now, here's the last thing. Here's the last thing. This left unchecked in a family will be passed on to the children and the children's children and the children's children. Have you ever heard of the sins of the father being visited to the third and fourth generation? You know how that happens? There's a root of bitterness on the inside of somebody, and they pass that on. They pass that on. They speak it in their homes. They speak it to their kids. The kids pick up on that, and it gets in their heart, and it starts the same system in them. And unless somebody is willing to break that, they'll pass that from generation to generation to generation. Hatfields and McCoys. You know, they got to where they didn't even know what they were fighting about. After a while, it didn't matter. They just hated. People do that. They don't even know why. But they're still, their neck is in the noose and they're still hung. They're producing nothing of eternal value. All right. Now, you said you was glad to hear the word today, so are you still glad that you heard the word today? Okay, let me ask you a question. Now let's get serious. Because there may need to be some things that change today. There may need to be some things that change in you today. Maybe you realize that you're harboring an offense in your life. Direct, indirect, maybe you're passing offense, maybe you have borrowed an offense. And it affects you spiritually. It'll affect the blessing of God in your life. Not that God's mad at you, but you're just sowing the wrong seeds. You're going to get the harvest of the seeds that you sow. You just need to change that today. You need to make the decision to change that today. You can do that. It starts with a choice. It don't start with a feeling. It starts with a choice. And you're going to have to go in that direction with it. You're going to have to stay with it. And listen, if you'll put the word in there, it'll help uproot that root of bitterness on the inside of you. Yeah, but I've been this way a long time. You know, it doesn't matter. The word of God is more powerful than your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. It's more powerful. It's delivering. See, it says that the engrafted word of God is able to save your soul. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come. Mainly I'm asking the prayer team to come. Maybe you're here today and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you need to take care of that today. This is where it all starts. Being born again in our spirit. Not acknowledging that there is a God and I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And have you accepted Him? Have you embraced Him as your life? If not, you can do that today and you can start a tremendous journey of faith. And that's why I have these up here today, mainly. Now, if you've got some unforgiveness issues, we're going to stand and worship in just a second. And I want you to address the Lord about that. You can do that right at your seat. You can repent. You can release whoever it is that has offended you. And you can be set free from that. You'll have to put the word in there. You'll have to put that word in there and continue in that word. And it will uproot that in you. And you'll truly know that you've forgiven that person or people or whatever that has hurt you. So let's stand. And I want to pray a quick prayer. And we're going to worship. If you need to make Jesus Lord come down, otherwise pray that prayer that you need to pray and get that freedom that you need in your life today. There's people's eternal destiny that may depend on you being able to reflect God's glory like you do. Father, thank you today. Thank you that we can be free of offense. That we don't have to be trapped and enslaved by those offenses that have come at our life. That we can forgive and we can release those who have hurt us. Thank you for it today, that you've given us the ability to guard and to keep and to guard our hearts. Thank you for it, Father, today in Jesus' name. Amen. Feel free to come.